making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Welcome to Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden URC. We're thankful that you've joined us today. Today we have joined with us again Kevin Eflin of the Bellingham United Reformed Church. He is the pastor there. And we're thankful for the opportunity today to discuss theology, to discuss practical issues of the Christian faith. And one of the things I want to start with today is a discussion about why theology is on a decline in the United States. It seems that years ago it was the common Christian's delight to stand around with other Christians or sit by the fire and discuss theology, discuss the fine points of what we believe as Christians. Today, even the word doctrine, theology, all of these words are somehow scorned, and we have lost any sense of what the importance is of our heritage and these great words of the Christian faith. Kevin, why do you think this has taken place in the United States and really in across this world, a decline in value of studying theology and learning the doctrinal truths of the Christian faith?
Well, Chris, I think we could give several reasons for that. I think one is the fact that ministers themselves have lost an interest in theology, and when ministers have lose an interest in that, naturally the people are going to lose an interest in that too. Sadly, we live in a day when many pastors rarely use the Bible. They don't preach textually. They don't preach from the Bible itself. They may read a portion of Scripture and then go into 20 or 25 minutes of personal anecdotes and stories and illustrations. And I think when people see that each and every Sunday, they don't have an interest in theology because they don't see their pastor does either. So I think that's one of the reasons. I think, too, that we live in a day when people, for one reason or another, don't have the commitment to reading that people used to have. We have DVD players. We have iPods. We have a number of other things to keep our attention and to entertain us, and so the interest in a rigorous study of doctrine and theology is just not there. I'm sure there are other reasons too, but those are two that I think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, there's so much to say with an issue like this before us, but we live in a TV culture, we live in a very visual culture, and really it comes down to the fact that people don't really want to work much for anything. They want everything to come to them free, and when this is carried over into the Christian faith, what you produce is really a Christian who is very apathetic to the truth. It's a Christianity that is very surface, a Christianity that is very superficial. And what we're really calling all Christians back to is that we can be and have theology, can have a very special and important place in the life of the Christian. It's what we believe. And if we don't know what we believe, and if we don't understand and grow in what we believe, we set ourselves up for being deceived. And so today, Kevin, we want to start and look at one of these grand words of the Christian faith. And today, we're really moving forward in our discussion of the doctrines of grace. And one of those special words is atonement. What does atonement mean, Kevin, and why is that such a special word to the Christian?
Well, I think it's such a special word to the Christian because as sinners, we know that we have a sin problem that needs to be dealt with. And thankfully, the Lord, by His grace, has opened our eyes and our hearts to understand that truth, the truth that we've talked about a few weeks ago in regards to what's called total depravity, that we understand that we can do nothing to please God, nothing to make ourselves acceptable to Him. And so we are in dire straits. We are in desperate need of having our sins covered. And so the idea of atonement is so wonderful and beautiful and rich for us because it deals with our greatest problem, which is our sin problem and the fact that because of our sin, we are under the just judgment of a holy God.
That's a wonderful way to state that doctrine. And the covering aspect of atonement is very important in this discussion. You know, we look through the Bible, and this has been taught throughout, all from the beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. But it was the Lord's covering that was the only thing that was accepted. And you remember, it said he made coverings from tunics of skin. And the point there in Genesis chapter 3, when those things are said, is that God himself took an animal, shed its blood, and covered Adam and Eve with those skins, telling us that throughout time, without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sins. And so throughout the Old Testament, we have this constantly taught, where a blood of a bull or a goat would have to be shed to make atonement, which is covering for sin. And remember, the high priest every year in Israel would walk in and sprinkle blood once a year on that mercy seat, telling us that for any sinner to stand before a holy God and to be pardoned, now that he is a sinner, he would have to have a covering through blood. Now, what makes the Christian doctrine of the atonement so special then? In the Old Testament, blood of bulls and goats was used. What did that all point to, Kevin?
Well, you know, Hebrews makes it very clear that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. And all that blood was pointing to the blood of Christ. When you look at Hebrews chapter 10, it states very clearly that Christ came to put an end to sin. He gave himself once for all time. He sat down at the right hand of God, signifying that his atonement, his substitutionary death was satisfactory, does not need to be offered again and again. And so all of that blood, and the Old Testament is a very bloody book, all of that blood was pointing forward very clearly to the coming of the Messiah, the one who would ultimately deliver his people from their sins.
Now that's very good. In Romans chapter 3, verse 21, we read, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And this is the key verse here, verse 25, "whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness." This word propitiation, signifying and telling us that the blood of Christ was the only covering that could actually satisfy God's wrath against our sin. Now, this is something that is really taught through every world religion in some way. I mean, it seems to me, Kevin, that we look at other world religions and every religion out there understands that somebody's angry and that somebody needs to be satisfied. And so we have all these religions doing various things to cover their sins. Now, what do you see in the world with these various religions, and what makes the Christian faith unique in light of atonement?
Well, I think you made the point that every religion sees the necessity of having their God's anger propitiated or smoothed over. And really, when you boil down all the religions, there really are only two types of religion. One is religion based on human achievement. The other is religion based on divine accomplishment. And so the question becomes, who is the one who's going to propitiate or smooth over God's anger? Is it me, or is it God himself? And so when we talk about human achievement, we talk about maybe through good works, charitable organizations, charitable efforts, our own good deeds, we somehow will in the end attain heaven, paradise, whatever you want to call it. Whereas the Christian faith says, no, we cannot do that at all. And the only way it's accomplished is through the work of God himself, divine accomplishment.
That's exactly right. What makes the Christian faith stand out from every other faith in the world, every other belief system, is that it's God coming down to rescue sinners, not us reaching up to God and somehow providing a way to make him happy. We can't. All of us are fallen. It doesn't take much to look in this world to see just how fallen we are. We see evil, we see murder, we see adultery, everything on the news every day. And it tells us just our sorry estate that we really are in because of Adam. But what God has done in the gospel is provided the propitiation that is able to satisfy his wrath, and that is his only begotten Son. So that when Jesus comes here and he dies on the cross and he sheds his blood and he says, "It is finished," that sacrifice pleased the Father. So we don't, what Kevin is saying here is we don't come into that picture in a sense of what God will accept. There's nothing in us that God finds pleasant or anything that we can do that he will accept and say, oh, they're worthy of such a covering. No, what makes the sacrifice of Christ so pleasing is that it is the sacrifice of his son offered up on our behalf. And so that's the wonderful truth of the gospel. Now, how do we receive that righteousness? How do we receive that covering, Kevin?
The Bible is clear, and you have your Bible open right now to Romans 3, by faith alone. We don't receive it by faith and works. We don't receive it by faith and our faithfulness. We receive it by faith and by faith alone. And so that is the message of the Christian faith, that God has accomplished the salvation of his people, and we receive that merely through the open hand of faith.
Right, and faith is in a sense reaching out. It's the arm that is given to us to reach out and receive the benefits of Christ. It is leaning and trusting upon Jesus Christ and all the promises made in the gospel. So, you know, when we call as pastors sinners to repentance and faith, this is not, in a sense, just a sort of option that we have, and you know, all roads lead to the Father, and Jesus is one way. That is not at all what the Christian faith teaches. And that's a hard message to give in a time where everyone's crying tolerance. Mm-hmm. Everyone's saying that there are all these different paths to God. Well, Jesus was very clear. What made him so radical to everyone was that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And so we may have a lot of people doing some very good things, right, in this world, philanthropic causes. But if they are not in Christ and they have not believed in Jesus, all of those things are in vain. Mm-hmm. That's hard for us to square, isn't it, Kevin?
Well, I think so. I think that we like to think the best of people. Some people say man is basically good, and we've dealt with this already under the heading of total depravity, but it is hard to accept the fact that we can do nothing to save ourselves. And in our own pride and arrogance, we want to think that we have at least some small part to play, and that maybe God has done this for us, and now he's kind of left it up to us to finish the job. But it really hammers our pride and is incredibly humbling to realize and to understand that we can do nothing to save ourselves. We can do nothing to contribute to our salvation. Even our faith, as Ephesians 2 says, is the gift of God.
That's right. And what we're rehearsing here when we talk about the word atonement and the glories of the gospel is that when you believe in Jesus, from that moment on, all of his righteousness and all that he did on behalf of sinners is reckoned to your account. His perfect obedience, his passive obedience in laying down his life and removing the curses of the law upon us and meriting for us heaven, all of that is reckoned to our account by faith. And so we plead with sinners, believe in Jesus in this day of salvation, and you will know what it means to have all of your sins covered. Kevin, your worship services are at
10:30 and 6 p.m. on Sundays.
Bellingham Christian School. Join us for worship. Have a wonderful weekend.
And with that, we come to the end of our time today here on Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden with our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon. If you have questions, comments, maybe a prayer request, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a couple of thoughts in your mind you just can't get away from and you'd like someone to talk with, feel free to call or write to us. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Or stop by our website, lindenurc.com, and drop us an email. While you're there, pay us a visit and check the website out. We've got a lot of information about who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at United Reformed Church of Linden. Again, that's lindenurc.com. If you're writing to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is the zip code. And again, the phone number, 360-318-0429. If you would like to join us for worship, we do meet at 8650 Benson Road, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays. We'd love to have you join us. In fact, if you do, would you let one of the ushers know you were invited by the radio broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. And then we trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.